Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, TV and film director and author, Carla McCloskey.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Issa. I am Mark Legere, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I'm so looking forward to tonight's conversation. I mean, I'm really looking forward to tonight's conversation and to listening and to learning. I had a wonderful conversation with our guest today, and I was reminded that I met her maybe 12 or so years ago. As I started to get into this field, I was having people say to me, oh, have you met Lee McCloskey yet? Have you been to Olander yet? And I, or Olandar, and I had no idea what they were talking about, but these names kept coming up. And so I was invited to this beautiful home in Malibu when I finally, it was Shadow Stevens, I think, that was that finally said, you just have to go and don't make me take you. You have to go. So I believe we met prior, and then we had another opportunity to actually interview Lee McCloskey on the Life Changes show. So you might want to catch that show. It was one of the very first shows, and it was one of our first shows, if not the first show, that we did outside of outside. So we were roaming around inside this beautiful home that truly, like everybody told me, can't be explained. I mean, except by Lee McCloskey, maybe Carla too, but and it was quite an experience to be with Lee. Now, Carla was perfectly content and beautifully so to let Lee tell us, describe to us stories and show us pictures and paintings and weave this experience that he did for us. And so I noticed that Carla also has that ability. And I have to say, sadly, it feels rare. Thankfully, I meet a lot of special people, but it feels rare out in the world to have people that when you speak with them, that like every word they say is something you want to hear or something that you could learn from. And I got that same feeling today while speaking with Carla, and I asked myself, what is that? And I came away with an experience of, here's somebody who knows a lot, who's done a lot, who's done things at in some of the highest levels of doing them. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. And also didn't seem to have like an agenda. If this is, I'd ask a question, and if I wanted to know about that, she'd share that, and happily so. And that was it. It wasn't, look at me, look what I've done. It's like, is there anything else you want to know? Or, hey, this is a fun story. And yet it was fun, and I get something out of it, like, oh, all kinds of stuff, actually. And you're going to hear that in just a moment. So truly, sit back. Experience Carla McCloskey, right, Mark?
that's absolutely one of your better monologues, and couldn't be more accurate. I'm really excited for Carla and everything she's bringing to the show, and having, you know, had some of my own experiences in the past as well. I know our listeners are in for a treat.
A treat indeed. As a matter of fact, life tools even to balance rich personal relationships and family. And that's just the beginning. Our guest is a Hollywood film and TV director and assistant director. She's an author. She's so much more. She's a loving partner and a gracious host. She has managed her husband's career, famous husband, I should add, in the background. And she's an author. And we're so pleased to have Carla McCloskey on the Life Changes Show. Welcome, Carla.
Well, thank you very much. That nice introduction. And I hope that it is as informative for everyone as you just mentioned. But thank you. Yes, I'm very happy to be here.
You know, it kind of takes me back to where some of this started. And that's, at your grandmother's feet or on the chair next to her when you were a little girl, and the stories that she would share?
Yes, that's very true. But I usually was on her lap. I'd sit on her, she'd be in her rocking chair, and I would sit on her lap, and we would have many lovely things, or else on the porch swing. And she would share all sorts of wonderful things and just how she lived her life. She was a great example. And I always say, walk what you talk. And that's the best thing, is for your children, for friends, for your partner, whatever, is to be live your example of being a gracious, good, kind person.
What's also interesting to me is that the first book that Carla wrote is called Grandma Told Me So. And what's interesting and wonderful is that potentially there could be another book titled Grandma Told Me So, written by her very own granddaughter. and today I knew we had a timeline because you were going to be being grandma with your daughter. So you walk your talk.
Yes, that's true. I think that it's sort of the pay it forward idea, that I wanted to be the best grandmother that I could be because I had one that I thought was the best one.
Well, the difference here being, like, I don't know your grandmother or didn't know her, but the difference here being is you as a grandma, you have done some really, really interesting things and work with some really interesting people. People might know Steven Spielberg and Robert Zemeckis, and so people might know The Goodbye Girl, California Suite, Point Break, Jurassic Park, and that's just in the film side of the house. And then actually, I go ahead and say it, on the TV side of the house, Amazing Stories, I remember that, of course, Babylon 5, Ally McBeal, Gilmore Girls, etc. So this grandma being you has so much to say.
That's true. I do. I haven't shared those stories with our granddaughter's 4 and our grandson is 18 months, so they don't know those stories yet. But it's always nice to sort of have those in your tool bag to say, so you want to hear this story?
How do you do all that at such a high, high level? Because you were either director on some of that or assistant director. And actually, people are still asking you to attend, you know, these conferences where people, the Gilmore Girls, they, you know, these kinds of things. And people look up to you and want to know how to be like you, kind of thing. How do you do that? And then on the one hand, just be as gracious and quiet and cool and grandma.
Well, I think those things can really work in the film and television industry. And I think that's what's kind of separated me. I was one of the first women to be as an assistant director. And I stayed as a woman. I stayed, you know, a lot of women thought they had to be very masculine in their job and scream and holler and everything else. Mm. And I just, you know, I really relied on people that I hired that were experts in their field. And so I wasn't telling the special effects men how to do their job or whatever, and just enlisted their aid in trying to get the best product possible, because you are, as an assistant director, in charge of the set. And having a woman direct all the grips and the electricians and the drivers and everything wasn't at first that well received, but it certainly is now, which is great. And so I just maintained that, and I treated everyone with respect and felt that I was kind and compassionate. I often got thank you notes, especially from extras, because they treated so well, and they'd say, thank you so much for how you were. And I thought, wow, how do other people treat them? You know, so
and you know how other people treat them.
Yeah, not well. But it's just to maintain that in whatever you do, and whatever you can do that. You know, I've worked with some people, and I know about a lot of people who are very much screamers and not fun to work with. And that doesn't produce a nice, a good working environment for whatever you're doing. If it's in a business, if it's whatever. And I think it's most important to maintain that level of behavior.
So maybe this goes back to well, let's see. I was going to say to a strong foundation. And yes, you had a strong foundation, yet you also grew up in a circumstance where mom and dad weren't around.
Right. Well, my mother was around, but she did have to work. My parents divorced when I was one. So divorce was very much that something I did not want to do. And so I didn't really think I'd ever get married until I met Lee, because I wasn't going to marry someone unless I knew I wanted to spend the rest of my life with them. Mm. And so it was, I'm sort of drifting now. What was the question?
Well, the strong foundation that your
oh, grandma. Right. Yes, exactly. Okay. So one thing I this is in the book too, that you don't have to learn about love or how to behave necessarily from your parents. If they're not the best examples, you can learn what not to do, which is also really helpful. You don't have to go through and make the same mistakes. You go, well, that didn't work very well. I don't think I'll do that. So, yeah, you can learn from both good and bad behavior and how you want to live your life.
Well, Hollywood is like the Hollywood romance is supposed to be like really sexy and all that stuff and beautiful and all that. And of course, you and your husband are both beautiful, handsome and beautiful. But you didn't have the quote unquote Hollywood romance, because Hollywood romances also are not known to last very long.
That's true. But we still have a Hollywood romance. It's very, very unusual. We've been together for, what is it? It's like since 1976. So that's, what's my addition here? It's 48 years? No, 47, whatever. But close to 50 years. And we're still like, seriously, I always tell young people that are just getting married, you know, you can still be madly in love after all this time. And, you know, and that's why I wrote the book, to give all the different ideas about how to have a great relationship, things that work.
So while we're there, what are some of the things that, I really wish you could say what you shared with me about never treat a man something or other. Do you have that in place?
Oh, that one, yeah. Yeah, my grandma used a lot of, you know, I have maxims throughout the book and they're sort of illustrated by whatever the situation was. And that was when I mentioned to you today, treat a man as he is and he will remain as he is. Treat a man as he can be and should be, and he will become as he can and should be. Mm. But she had much shorter ones, and many are well known. It's not that she, you know, wrote these or came up with these herself, but, you know, even things like to have a friend, be one, or the way to be happy is to make others so. And there's just, you know, so many good things that are easily said and express a good idea in these maxims that she would say, which were very funny. I mean, she'd always say, the proof is in the pudding or whatever, you know, that would kind of elicit that idea. And I found that so many people came to her, as they do with me, for advice. But my grandmother was very interesting because she listened to them, which I think is so important. She didn't really give them advice that often. She was a good listener. And then a lot of people, that's what they need. They just need to be heard.
Mm. So you obviously have used this not just in the relationship with Lee, but in the relationships that you cultivate in all areas of work and, of course, your family. So there is a foundation there that we will talk about in a little bit that obviously relates to your second book, which we'll talk about in a little bit, Living in an Alien Body. But before we move on from all of this, how about a quick, fun Hollywood story? I mean, I don't know how you even pick. You have so many. How about one that shows you? So the plane and the helicopter one.
Okay. So I was filming all the aerial photography for Point Break. If you remember that movie with Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze, it was very popular. And we were doing all the stunts, and I had been working with all the aerial, you know, the skydivers, and not with the actors. I was with the stunt people primarily. And we've been working for a long time. We shot over Lake Powell, and then we moved up to California City, and had been doing this a lot, and we were having the jumpers get out, and the helicopter was filming, so it made it to get back into position. It came around and clipped off the end of the airplane. So we're in the inside of the airplane. It's like, we're hit. We're going down. And it was like mass insanity. I said it was like a World War II movie. And all of a sudden, it's like, get out, get out, get out. And I'm like, get out? I had never skydived. We had chutes on because it's a safety requirement. But I didn't really check my chute or know anything. And it turned out that I had kind of the round chute. That is the old chute you can't do much with, where the newer chutes are the rectangular ones with toggles and you can kind of direct where you want to go. But anyway, so I jumped out of the airplane, and they said it went from the insanity in the plane to jumping out, and you just have crazy rush of air. And then I pulled very quickly, which you're not necessarily supposed to do, but the stuntman told me that was probably a very good thing for me because I could have spun out and passed out and lost control. And so then you pull it, and you're literally like, I call this the scene in the book, Alice Through the Looking Glass, because you're hanging there in you know, I was up like 12,000 feet, and it just seemed like I was never even coming down. And finally, I did get down, and there was a stuntman running back and forth and trying to scream at me and tell me to do something. And I'm like, I didn't hear him. And then it was, I finally heard him say, steer towards the airport, steer towards the airport. And I'm like, the airport? Where's the airport? How do I steer? I had no idea. But he didn't want me to get dragged over the desert and, you know, into the cactus and everything. But I did get down. One of the other stuntmen said, so how'd you like that shoot? And I said, well, I guess it was okay. It got me down. He says, oh, well, he says, I made that in my garage. It's never been used. And I'm like, oh, well, great. Thank you. And of course, I had to call the studio and tell them what happened. And they said, well, who was there? And I said, ended with my name. And they said, you were just there and had that out. And I said, yes. So then I called Lee to let him know, because I didn't want him to worry if the news came through. And he said, well, so how'd you like skydiving? And I said, that's one good thing, that you have a good sense of humor in a relationship. And he always laughs, because from that show, I went on to do Jurassic Park in Kauai and was in a really bad hurricane. And he says, am I not exciting enough for you? Because I kept going from one crazy experience to the next, but makes life interesting.
Well, speaking of Lee and interesting, how about a quick, just before we go to a commercial break, of how in a relationship, jealousy is not conducive.
It's not productive or conducive for a good relationship. And that is something that Lee taught me. And I said, it's something that, you know, when your partner makes you feel very secure and you're secure in yourself, it really, you can live and have a relationship without jealousy, which is huge. It makes it so much easier. But an illustration of this is, I know when you film love scenes in a movie or television show, it's not at all sexy because you're trying to just work it out. And so you're not shadowing your partner. And it's very not at all sexy. But so he was doing a show, and he had a makeout scene with the lead actress. And then he had a break, and he came over, and I said, honey, no, I really didn't believe that. I said, you need to be a little more passionate. And I was giving him being a director, I guess. And when he went back to with the woman, the actress, and she says, oh, I saw you talking to your wife. Is she really upset? And he says, no, she told me just that I really need to be more passionate.
Good on you, Carla, and good on you for telling that story. And with that, we're going to take a quick break, but I do want to mention Grandma Told Me So is the book that we were talking about, Lessons in Life by Carla McCloskey. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the second book, Living in an Alien Body, Surviving Stroke. So, yeah. If you go to lifechangesshow.com, you'll find how to connect with Carla, how to learn more about Lee McCloskey, how to learn more about Olindar and how to connect with them. Main way would be to go to Instagram, actually, and Lee J. McCloskey. I'll spell that the next time I say it. When we come back, we also have our Ask Dorothy segment, and a little later on, our performance guest Issa is with us here tonight, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition, when we come back after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like you see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi beads at phibeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
Well, you've been listening to interview guest, Hollywood film and TV director and assistant director and author, Carla McCloskey. We've been talking about the book, Grandma Told Me So. And now we are going to be looking at the second book that Carla has written, Living in an Alien Body, Surviving Stroke. Carla, when you told me how long ago that you had a stroke, I'm trying to think, when I met you, I would have never known. So how? Talk to us.
Well, I did have a stroke it's now been 20 years. I can't believe that. And wow. It was quite severe. I couldn't walk. I couldn't see. And as I think I told you today, I tried everything. I said one of the things I highly recommend for people to do is seek out whatever you want to do. Seek out someone who has had the experience. And so I contacted other stroke victims because at the time there really wasn't any books or anything for me to know. I knew nothing about it. I said one of the most important things that I can say is find out where you should go if you're having a stroke. I didn't know. I just went to the closest hospital, which was not the right place to go. And I could have just gone down like 15 minutes further to UCLA, which anybody in the LA area, UCLA is a stroke center. I highly recommend that you go there. And just be aware of the signs that could have. It was a unilateral headache. That's very common, one-sided headache. If you have that, get checked out immediately. There's other things that you can do, like to know that you're having, like if you start to get numb on one side or have trouble speaking. But anyway, get loss of balance. There's so many other things that I illustrate in the book, but that I tried everything from having sessions with a Maori tribe to two elderly Polish gentlemen. I mean, just everything. I was open to anything. I said, but I think what really helped me is working in the hieroglyph of the human soul with Lee every day, and really focusing and meditating and working on getting better. And I truly have had a miraculous recovery. It's very true. And I don't mean to discourage anybody, because I know that, I mean, stroke is such a disability, and you're saying, well, I can't walk, I can't talk. I just keep trying, and I be sure to go to rehab. That's very, very important, which I did. And a lot of people don't, they just come home afterwards. So it was actually, in the long run, a positive experience. I learned a lot from stroke, especially, like, it's very discouraging, your recovery, but just keep doing it, and you know, you have a good, hopeful reaction and improvement.
Thank you for that. That's like a public service announcement. And I know there's a lot of that in your book. Absolutely. And important, these kinds of things that we don't necessarily think about and could save lives or improve lives that are going through something. What do you mean to go through, not as a helpless victim? I get that. Wow. But as an unexpected journeyer into strange and foreign lands.
Well, because I illustrate like what I went through, and with the stroke, you know, it obviously affects your brain. So I would have the most amazing, like, visions and experiences, and you know, it was almost like a drug hallucination trip, but a positive thing, and. Also, just in the recovery process, you know, just how you are so discouraged and you think, you know, that journey is, you know, not working at all. And then you do make some progress, and how, I mean, it's such a learning experience, and what to do and how in the hospital, and everything that happened to me is crazy. I mean, I tell that story. And people that have, you know, read the book, they go, I can't believe what you did or what you went through. So it was such an experience that still affects me to this day. So that's why I think it is, I didn't feel like a victim. I felt like I had explored very interesting areas of consciousness.
So this brings me full circle back to your grandmother and the stories that she told and the foundation that she gave you, and common sense and the never give up kind of attitude. It seems like all of this has supported your life and continues to, along with supported your relationship and continues to, and also like, talk about having the right relationship, that you and Lee worked through this together as well.
Oh, he was so supportive. He really is. He's the best. It really, you know, and also I think I've always been an optimist, and I have a real positive memory. Like, something could have been horrible. I was working on a show, I won't mention the name of it, that I was not happy working on. And they asked me to do the next season after hiatus. And I thought, I talked to Lee and I said, well, you know, I probably should go. He says, honey, you hate that show. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. I don't remember negative things necessarily, which I think is great, because I have a very positive memory about different instances that have happened in my life.
So is there any way, I know we had a show on this and I'm trying to remember what we talked to Lee McCloskey about, but obviously it was Olandar. Is there something you could share with us that could tell us what it is, other than your home?
Oh, how we got the name. Lee had a dream, as he often does. He's a big lucid dreamer and out of body person. And he has directed a lot of events in our life, from the naming of our daughter, Brighton. You know, he had a dream about that name that I told you, and she is the bright one. And he had a dream about the high priest of Olandar, and was very informative to him. And he started, from that dream, he started telling our daughters, who were quite young at the time, Olandar stories. And they were very profound and informative for them that he would just make up. And I never recorded them, which I completely regret, but I'm sure he can recreate them in some way. And so ultimately we have our home we named Olindar. We have a publishing company, Olindar Publishing Company. Our daughter Caitlin started Olindar Clothing. She doesn't do that anymore, although we still have some clothes and I sell a lot of them at our events that we have here all the time. And that's Olindar Clothing. So the name Olindar has become kind of a symbol for us.
So speaking of the home and your events, so the last time I was there with Dorothy. It was just the four of us. And at that point, Lee had just started painting the patio upstairs outside. So that's a while ago. I'm sure that's done by now.
That is done. And during COVID, I mean, he doesn't ever stop working. He is creating 24/7. Wow. And during COVID, he made an extension of the room. He made completely, it's a mirrored room. And they're small. They're like, most of them are sort of quarter size mirrors. And he has put these mirrors all over this room, and it's just phenomenal. The room is, everything is painted, the floors, ceilings, walls, furniture, books, everything. And it all becomes multidimensional when you put these glasses on, which he didn't know about when he started painting it. But during COVID, he made a whole room in mirrors besides, and also just kept making more detail and everything. It's just quite amazing. I mean, people come from all over the world just to see the hieroglyph of the human soul, because it is truly, it's life-changing. It really is.
And so when Carla says that everything is painted, she means everything is painted. And actually, Carla, you say the books, the furniture, but it's not just that the furniture is painted, but if Lee removes one of the cushions, it's painted behind the cushion and underneath it too, if I remember correctly.
Underneath the sofa, inside cupboards. There's so many hidden spaces that you open and they're all painted. It's quite amazing.
It's quite amazing indeed. Well, Carla, you are quite amazing. The two of you are quite amazing. I remember earlier today I was saying something like, there are so many dimensions to what you have to share and your life and experiences. And you said, well, we might just have to do it again then. And so one thing that we haven't done is to have you and Lee together. Now that would have been a Valentine's show, wouldn't it?
Oh, that's true. That's true. That would be a good Valentine's show.
So Grandma Told Me So and Living in an Alien Body, two books by Carla McCloskey, who in your book, you share like you've shared here with us. And we learn as you share from the wisdom your grandmother shared, from the wisdom of going through your stroke experience, not as a victim, but as someone going through a journey in an alien body. So any words that you want to leave us with?
Well, I wanted to say, I told you this story. I'll try to tell it quickly. But I've started another book. It's called Small Wonders and Minor Miracles.
Yes.
And I started writing down all the miraculous things that happen here. And there are so many. And as I mentioned, I said, the more that you recognize them and are very thankful for them, and it's like, and in relationship, if you don't pay attention to them, why should they pay attention to you? So they keep happening more and more and more. And one thing you asked about, if I still had any communication with my grandmother.
Yes.
And I said, when I was pregnant with my first daughter, I was walking up from the beach, very pregnant. And I was kind of having a melancholy moment going, oh, Grandma, I wish you were here. I'd love for you to meet my daughter. And I just miss you, and talking to her as I often do. Even to this day, I had an experience with our granddaughter today after speaking with you.
Oh.
She gave me some insight. I swear she's psychic. And she says, I want to talk to your grandmother. And then she told me how to do that. But anyway, so I go, I'm walking up the road,
wow.
And I see a package in the middle of the road. And I just walk up to it. And inside there is a baby outfit, a brand new baby outfit. And on the baby outfit, it says, there's a little duck and it says Ducky. And that is what my grandmother always called me, was Ducky. Mm. So I said she was there. But just quickly, Leighton said to me, "So I want to talk to your grandmother." And I said, "Well, you just, if you know, you've lost someone you love, you can always speak to them. I feel that they hear you." And she said, "Well, you know, your grandmother's not really dead. She just moved from her house because they were going to fix her house up differently. So she's just in a different house." And I said, "Okay, I like that."
Wow. Wow.
Okay. She often gives me advice, I swear. She's, you know, 4 going on 40.
Out of the mouth of babes. Well, thank you for that. And I do look forward to that third book. And it sounds like it would be a great trilogy on top of it all, with all the wisdom and all the magic. I can imagine. I remember you shared when we were in your home that a couple of things that happened, or might have been Lee who shared, that have happened in the home. And I can imagine that all of what you all are weaving from the events that you have, the love and the excitement. Well, for that matter, actually, you were so gracious to host an event for The Little Dog That Could, my book, in your home. And that was a special thing because your dog was present as well. And I'll never forget Lee just rolling around on the floor with the dog. And it was just like being at home with Carla and Lee. And, you know, if we had those kinds of experiences, like the experience of you and your grandmother, and potentially this might encourage also more people to spend more time with their grandchildren. And actually, say a word about that, if you would. We talked a little bit about
it. It is so important. It really is, to be with them, because so often, as we discussed today, you know, they're in a rest home or an elderly home, or, you know, people don't have them in their homes, and you're really missing out. I went everywhere with my grandmother because I was so little. And so my best friends were all, you know, 70 years old. And so I learned so much from them, and I would ask them questions. I grew up in Wisconsin, so we're very much salt of the earth type of people generally. And I'd say, "So why did you marry your husband?" "Well, he was a good man." And they would, you know, they would just spout all these lovely, wise things as well. And we can learn so, so much from our elders, and we should let them tell us their stories. And people, even that are neighbors or friends or strangers even, I always engage elderly people in conversation and always come back with a huge reward by doing so. And I highly recommend that. And it helps them so much because they want to feel useful still. So they are very much, and we just have to engage them.
Thank you for that public service announcement. And so, indeed, and so I promised I would spell Lee J. McCloskey, where you can find and follow on Instagram, and for that matter, Facebook, and there's a website, leemccloskey.com. So on Instagram, it's Lee, L-E-I-G-H, the letter J, and then McCloskey, M-C, then C again, L-O-S-K-E-Y. So, Carla, again, a pleasure. I look forward to the next time. And until then, thank you so much for showing up the way you do in everything that I'm seeing you do.
Thank you so much, Filippo. It was great.
What a pleasure. With Carla McCloskey.
Thank you, Dorothy. Hope to see you again very soon and meet Mark and everybody else.
Indeed. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. It's wonderful to have you on.
And I'm so glad, Carla, that you showed up. In this world, you're wonderful.
And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Olivia from Canoga Park, and I'm miserable. I don't see any reason for being on Earth with all of the evil in today's world. I've tried medication, and it only makes things worse for me. You have always been upbeat and helped me in the past, so I'm asking you to please help me to see life as you see it. How do you do it?
Dearest Olivia, thank you for this timely and important question. For way too many years, I too was depressed and miserable as I observed all of the negative things in this world, and I focused on them instead of focusing on the good. I thank God that I finally realized that the only thing we have to deal with are our thoughts and our words, and that we are in control of them. I discovered that whatever words I choose to use after saying or thinking I am, that I could use positive words instead of negative ones. Instead of saying I am miserable, I choose to say I am blessed and I am happy, and I do this when I first wake up every day. I also say I am easily seeing and focusing on all of the good in this world. There are many videos and articles on the internet that can assist you in choosing thoughts that serve you instead of those that do not. One very helpful website that I discovered is positivewordsresearch.com. When you go to the website, search for the I Am Affirmations list, and you will find some amazing positive thoughts to replace the ones you are presently caught up in. There is also a great video on YouTube titled The Power of I Am, and listening to it can help you shift dramatically into a much better state of mind. Once you start controlling your thoughts to ones that serve you, I feel your outlook on life will improve. Please let me know how you progress with this.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Issa, here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes Show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back. Our performance guest is an indie pop artist, and we welcome Issa to the Life Changes Show. Welcome, Issa.
Hello. Hello. Thank you.
It's great to have you here. You know, obviously we're talking about life and changes, and you in your very young years have already experienced many, some really difficult ones as well. But an interesting one, here you are as an indie pop artist. You started out as musical theater.
I started out actually in musical theater. So I went to school for musical theater in New York City.
And very young, right?
Pardon?
Very young.
Yeah, yeah. So I was there at 19. I went to school for musical theater and just kind of found myself writing songs in the rehearsal room at school and kind of just trying to navigate all of my projects and things towards writing music instead of the actual musical theater route. So I kind of knew then that I probably wasn't going to do musical theater. And I had a demo singing opportunity actually in New York. And that really inspired me being in the studio. I just kind of knew. It's like, this is what I love. And I love Broadway, but I don't think it's really for me in the future.
So here you were, when I said very young, it was actually from, you said before you could even remember, right? That you were singing and.
Yes. Yeah. I've been singing since I could really tie my shoes. So, yeah.
So here you were thinking that you're going to be doing musical theater and you set out for that and then you changed careers and now you're an indie pop star. Well, interesting when you set out to do an album, something changed. So tell us about this album that we're going to be hearing some songs from.
Sure. So the album that I did put out, it's called Not Sure I Love It Here Yet, but originally about 2 years ago, unfortunately, my brother passed away, but it propelled me into writing and inspired me into writing an entire album based around grief. And that was really the general theme was healing and coping through loss and love. And so I wrote an album based around that. And by the time it was done, which was just a few months before I released this now album, I decided I didn't want to put it out just for the fact that I had done some healing and I didn't really feel like it was what I wanted to present myself as an artist. So instead of putting that hard work album out, I actually went through my journey of writing in the last about 5 years. I've done demos, I've done songs for other people that they didn't want, or just songs that I did for myself and never released. So I went through and kind of developed my story through the last 5 years of the music that I had. And that's the album that I put out. So instead of the one that I went in to write 2 years ago and finished, I ended up actually going with some original stuff that wasn't even meant to be on an album, but created the story that I wanted to tell and show as a sort of a debut album of my artist.
Wow. Well, sorry about your brother and that whole experience. It sounds like you have taken it to a whole other level from where you are and where you've been. And we're going to get to hear the culmination of this part of the story so far. One of the songs is Pretty Little Devil Song. Is there anything we want to know about that, or is it self-explanatory?
I can explain it real quick, actually, but I have another song on the album called Desert Reprise. So this song was actually, you'll hear the lyric, I need the devil, but it started with I need the desert. And I actually sang it at a show here in Los Angeles at a place called Hotel Cafe. And there was a producer by the name of Mike Miller who came to the show, who was a mutual friend. And he saw that song and he came up to me after and he was like, oh, I'd actually really like to twist it and kind of make it a little bit more edgy. And I was like, okay, I'm open to that, you know. So we went into the studio the next day and wrote and just basically flipped the song from Desert to Devil and just kind of made it a little edgy and a little angry. And so it came out as the Pretty Little Devil Song. But I do have a desert version as well on the album. But that's a little bit of a story about the devil song.
Okay, well, here is Issa's pre-recorded song, Pretty Little Devil Song, on the Life Changes Show.
The simple days, I'll miss the mountains, views, I'll miss streetlights and you. I need the dirt roads, dead flowers running around with no clothes, 'cause I have secrets no one knows. No one knows, no one knows that I need the devil. Somebody
won't miss the real one.
Well, I would say a little edgy.
Yeah.
Issa. Issa, find Issa on Instagram at Issa. Now, Issa is spelled E-A-S-A-E. And then on Instagram, you add an underscore after that last E. It's a palindrome indeed, Issa.
Yeah, yes, it is.
It's spelled the same way, one way and the other. And I'm trying to think, I guess you can pronounce it the same way. So there it is. All right. Yeah. So your album is about because the song we're going to hear is Home next. And you said that kind of is the intro or defines the album. Tell us about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this next one, it's only vocals. So you'll hear background music, but they were actually all done with only my voice, just layering, harmonizing. And, it actually was tuned to a certain frequency that's 420 hertz that affects your heart chakra for healing. So that my whole idea on this was the song you just heard was I Need the Devil. And then there's the version of I Need the Desert, which essentially is coming home. And I wrote kind of all three of these around a similar time where I was in Los Angeles, but I was obviously missing home. And just kind of finding your way and finding your footing, but within yourself, not just within your surroundings. So home kind of sets a foundation for you to kind of be centered before you listen to the project and find your home within yourself and just take that moment to yourself to breathe, connect. And, you know, before you kind of ride the roller coaster of the actual album. And yeah, again, it's done all through vocals. And I wanted to try to heal just primarily through my voice with this one. So yeah, I hope it resonates.
And healing for all. So this is Home. The album's title is what?
It's Not Sure I Love It Here Yet.
Right. Right. Interesting. And here is Issa's pre-recorded song, Home, on the Life Changers Show.
I don't know, but I'll go. I don't know, but I'll go. I don't know, but I'll go. 'Cause you're home, that much I'm home. much I know you're home. You're home. You're
Whoa, Issa, thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it was such a pleasure. So find Issa on Instagram at Issa underscore. So that's E-A-S-A-E underscore. And just, Issa, you said you did all the vocals to that?
Yeah, so it's just primarily vocals. And we just did layers of harmonies and pretty much that's how we did it. So there's no instruments and that's just vocals.
Wow. Good on you. Well, Issa, what a pleasure to have you on the show. The album is not sure I love it here yet. I hope you become sure because we're glad you're here. We're glad you're on the show. And thank you so much for sharing with us tonight.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's been a joy.
Wow. It sure has. Thank you for saying that. I agree completely with a big thank you to Issa and a big thank you to our interview guest, Carla McCloskey. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippa Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.